go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back, I'm very pleased to say, joined by one of America's most remarkable men, truly a Renaissance man in every sense of the word. Victor Davis Hanson has been contributing mightily to the public policy debate for, well, as long as I can remember, and he does so through numerous outlets. He is at the Hoover Institution in California. He has been a professor. He is, of course, a columnist at National Review Online. He is the author of truly innumerable books on a whole host of subjects, most especially about national security and grand strategy. And he is always welcome here. Victor, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I wanted to visit with you first and foremost about a piece that you recently wrote about moral equivalence, the Obama administration's application of that practice specifically towards Israel and the Middle East. What is going on here, and what are the practical effects of it?
Well, there's two things going on. One is that the Obama administration doesn't see anything exceptional about the American-Israeli relationship, and they feel that in some ways Israel is an overdog, a one-percenter, so to speak, in the Middle East, an outpost of Western civilization where it doesn't belong. And so they're trying to even the playing field, and that started almost immediately with the flotilla episodes and the settlement, so-called settlements that Hillary objected to. And then second of all, their worldview is simply that it's sort of the principle of a high school. When a bully attacks somebody and somebody retaliates, that's zero tolerance for violence, and both the perpetrator and the victim and the avenger all get suspended because there's no moral investigation at all of who's culpable.
You mentioned one other contributing factor, and that is the policies of the administration are a shambles. I wonder whether, as you look at the totality of those policies, Victor Davis Hanson, whether something else is afoot here, namely that these are the kind of predictable, if chaotic, consequences of the kind of fundamental transformation, if I may use that term, that the president and his team have clearly had in mind for the Middle East, bringing to power the Muslim Brotherhood and the like.
I think the idea was that America would have a recessional from the Middle East, and then there was no worry over what would fill a vacuum. I don't know to the degree that they knew, approved, disapproved of the new Russia, Iran, Syria, Hezbollah, Hamas axis. And it's interesting. I mean, it already captures about 12 million barrels of exportable oil, just those nations alone. And when they get a hold of the Persian Gulf and pressure the Saudis and the Kuwaitis, the Emirates, which they will do, it'll be a whole different story. But I don't know if he thought that out. It was just the train of events that were logical once he decided that he was not going to keep troops in Iraq, or he was going to back the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, or he was going to remove Gaddafi and then just vanish from the scene in the lead from behind mode, or whatever it was. That's a logical result. We don't know to what degree he thought that out. I don't think he could think that out.
Well, one thing that does seem to have been at least seen as the preferred outcome, if it wasn't fully thought out, and I grant you that that's probably unlikely, but at the very least, the going in premise was this part of the world would be in better hands if they were Islamists' hands, whether they were Sunni or Shiite, for that matter. And that seems to be more or less where this is headed, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think he said that Iran would develop into a legitimate regional power. And that's true, though, of everything. I think he feels that Putin has more of a legitimate claim to be a hegemon vis-a-vis the former Soviet republics. He feels that China has certain legitimate interests in the South China Sea. He believes that North Korea has some legitimate areas. So he doesn't really believe that any of these countries need to be confronted. I think he thinks there's sort of a natural leftist axis in Latin America that is legitimate and should be respected. In his view, that there's all these competing hegemonies, and they're all as legitimate as our former influence. And the friends that we have in these areas, in some ways, have less authentic or less legitimate claims than their revolutionary opponents.
What do you make, and again, our guest is Victor Davis Hanson, the author most recently of The Savior Generals, How Five Great Commanders Saved Wars That Were Lost from Ancient Greece to Iraq. You are one of the country's foremost historians, and I just wonder, from an historical perspective, when you hear the President of the United States, Victor, say that what Putin is doing in Syria is an example of weakness, how do you think that's seen, not just by Putin, but by those in the region, and for that matter, the broader world beyond?
Well, that doesn't have a good pedigree, that analysis of an opponent's motives who seems to be gaining prestige and power. It's sort of a critique of the rules of the game. Obama's basically saying, in my postmodern world, these traditional things like glory or power or attention or territory or natural resources or whatever you want to call it, they just don't matter. And so everybody knows that, so he's just wasting his time. And it's sort of what some people in Britain and France did in 36, 37, 38. They would say things like, well, what would Hitler do if he did go into Czechoslovakia? Who'd want Poland? Big deal. And they really didn't stop that until he went into France. Then it was a big deal. So in the long term, it may be academic whether Obama's right or not, that this is wise on the part of Putin with a weak economy to do the things he's doing. But in the short term, it doesn't matter because millions of lives have been affected because of our weakness and our inattention.
Victor, let me turn to one other related topic here. I'm sure you watched at least some of and certainly the reporting about Hillary Clinton's performance in the Benghazi Select Committee last week. Our friend and colleague Andy McCarthy has written very powerfully about the fact that this is really fitting a pattern, specifically the business about the video that Jim Jordan called her out on, of lying on the part of the former Secretary of State for cause, to be sure, her own political future, not least. But also, I just wonder, Victor, as you look at the Middle East and in particular the importance that's been associated historically by those who adhere to Sharia to the notion that nobody may give offense to Muslims, that when they see Hillary and President Obama, for that matter, sort of imputing this unpleasantness about the attack in Benghazi to a video, does this not get read as submission on our part?
Well, it was the entire time, because remember, she not only said it was a video, but she said that this spontaneous riot that was caused by X and X and X, we're going to bring them to justice immediately. So the Islamic world saw that, A, we didn't want to blame Al-Qaeda, and B, we never did really go after and get very many people, and we didn't really retaliate. So, yeah, every time we contextualize an act of violence, whether it's through euphemisms like workplace violence at Fort Hood, or whether it's high intelligence official explaining or contextualizing the Muslim Brotherhood as largely secular, or the immigration that we see into Europe, the radical Islamic world says, why are they doing this? And the reason must be that they think they're the weaker horse, and to use Osama bin Laden's formulation, or they're afraid of us, or we're doing something right. And that goes out on social media, and it's enormously persuasive to a lot of young people in and out of the West. I think it's very important because everybody talks about, well, there were all these opponents to Hitler in 38, 39, and the general staff. Well, there were. And that's true, and the only minority supported, but not after the success in Czechoslovakia in 38, and not after Poland at that point. And that's important to remember, because what we're doing is we're undercutting anybody in the Muslim world who would want to object to Sharia law, just like we are in Iran that objected to what the theocracy has done. We're basically saying to them, you're discredited because the power, the prestige, the influence which we're giving is with your opponents. Nobody ever talks about that.
As usual, couldn't be better said. Victor Davis Hanson, the Anderson Senior Fellow in Residence in Classics and Military History at the Hoover Institution. Thank you so much for all that you do. Keep it up, my friend. Come back to us again very soon. Gordon Chang joins us next. We'll talk about the latest from China and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.